Last Sunday we talked about Jesus is my health. Now last Sunday would have been part one, so this is going to be part two. Now the text scripture we have is Psalms chapter number 121, verses number 1 and 2. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, as we said on last Sunday, the advantages of the hill, especially during war times or time of trouble or time of attack, it was a great advantage to be located on a hill, because you could see your enemy coming, and gravity supported your weapon. Things travel faster downward than they do going upward. Okay, so that was the advantage really of being able to be on the hill. Now notice what the text says. David says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill from which cometh my help. And then he says, my help cometh from who? The Lord. That my help don't come from the hill. My help comes from the Lord. The Lord which made both what? Heaven. The God that we serve is greater than the hill. Right? David says, his God made both the hill and the earth that the hill sits on. He made both heaven and earth. Jesus made both heaven and earth. Now this scripture, this lesson really came into play this week. Many of the saints were having a lot of difficult little things that kind of happened unaware from this week. We had several text messages, several messages on the social media. Now I don't know if you all remember Deacon Wright and Sister Wright. Now Deacon Wright has passed, so I think he passed yesterday morning, right? So please keep that family in your prayers. Please keep her as well as the family in your prayer. But when you think about all of the things that have gone on, not just presently, but all year long. This year has been a year full, it seems, of death. And it's not so much that people don't die other years, but this year, seems like everybody, every time you turn around, somebody that you can put your hands on, I mean somebody that you have touched, has passed away or has died. So when you read a scripture like this, it should really give you some sense of a comfort, to let you know that you really have a resource, that you don't have to feel like you're in this thing called life by yourself or all alone, because Jesus is your help.
Right.
You can really call on Jesus, and Jesus will really help you. And I'm not talking about necessarily giving you what you want. A lot of times people look at the help part as Jesus giving me what I want. But Jesus will give you what you need. Jesus will give you what you need. Even if it means you losing something. Jesus will give you what you need. When they say, Elder Scudder, how, if I'm losing something, how will the Lord give me what I need? He'll give you the strength to go through it. He'll give you the strength, the wherewithal, the mind, the ability to keep yourself together while you go through this thing. Because regardless of when you lose someone, I don't care what you do, you can't reverse it. You can't stop Jesus from doing what he says he's going to do. Job says, when the Lord calls, you are going to answer. That's out of our control. That's out of our, we can't stop that process. So the only thing we can do is just ask the Lord to give us the strength to go through these things. These things called tests, these things called trials. You think about the stuff when we were in these same spots last week. These same spots last week. If you would have known the things that you were going to confront during the week, you know, what kind of preparations would you have made? What kind of turns would you have made? Say, Elder Scott, I wouldn't have gone down that street. No. Elder Scott, I would have stayed in my house a little longer. Elder Scott, I would have did this. I would have did that. But that's how life is. Life is full of unknown. Life is full of uncertainty. But the one thing that we can rest assured in is that Jesus is always there. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. We have a help. We have a resource. We have someone that is there to help us go through these things. Not saying that they're not going to be hard. They are going to be hard. They are going to be difficult. If you look in your definition for help that's on your paper, it says he makes it easier. He makes it easier. That's the key right there. Jesus is the source that aids or supports. Jesus makes things that seem difficult to deal with easier to handle or to bear. Jesus does that. Jesus will allow the thing that seems real difficult to understand, difficult to deal with. Jesus will help you bear it. Jesus will help you go through it, saints. All right. Now let's get a little bit more into our lesson. Let's go over to the Psalms. Chapter number 20, 1 and 2, and then someone go to Psalms 40, I think 1 through 3. Psalms chapter number 20, 1 and 2.
21 and 2 reads, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble."
Yes, Jesus does that, saints. If you call on Jesus when you're in trouble, you can rest assured the Lord will hear you.
Right?
Right? Yeah. The Lord will hear you in the day of trouble. Keep going.
In the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee.
Yes.
Defend thee, help.
Isn't that something always, all the way even in the Old Testament, they understood the value of God's name.
Right.
Not names, not with his, that's not plural.
Right.
It's God has a name. Because there's only one God, right?
Yeah.
There's only one God, and that one God has a name.
Right.
And this God is the God of who? Jacob. This is the God that was in the burning bush in the revelation that he showed to Moses. When he says, I am that I am. One God, I am that I am, have sent you. Right? That's that one God. I am the God of thy forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? And here in the book of Psalms, that God that spoke to Moses, that said, I am that I am, is revealing that he has a name. Right? Not names. He has a name. Now, did they know that name? No. Only thing they knew was I am. They called him Jehovah based upon the revelation of him saying, I am. Jehovah means the self-existent one or Lord. And that's what Psalms 100 picks up, that concept of Jehovah, or that concept of Lord, when he goes through and says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord. Serve Jehovah with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with singing, right? Know ye not that the Lord, Jehovah, is God? The great I am is God, right? But that's not his name. Jehovah is not his name. Jehovah is who he is. He's the self-existent one of the Lord. Jehovah is not his name. It describes who he is. But his name is Jesus. That name has always been Jesus. From the beginning of time, his name was Jesus. He just did not reveal that name to us. He went so far to tell us in Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 12 that there is no salvation in any other. There's no other name. In other words, God's name didn't evolve. It didn't morph into that. It didn't, what's that thing where the turtles or the frog, the tadpoles turn into, they call them, what is with that whole process where they go from tadpoles to frogs? it's not metamorphosis. The name didn't metamorphosize itself. It didn't change to say it didn't start off as Jehovah and come on into Jesus. No, it's always been Jesus. It's all, that's why the writer said there is no salvation in any other. Right? Our God does not change. Jesus does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and God's name will always be Jesus. Salvation will always be in the name of Jesus. One writer said the name, and nothing gets greater or is more exalted than the name of Jesus. And not just in our place of existence, earth, but also in the heavens and also under the earth. Scripture said that name is above all names, right? That's the truth, saints. So God's name has always been Jesus. They called him Jehovah because of the way he revealed himself. He revealed himself as the I Am. That's an important concept to know when you're trying to understand that Jesus is your help. You need to know that I Am is your help. He's always present. He's always right there. No matter how bad things get, the Lord is always right there. All you got to do is learn how to do what? Lean and depend on him. As this psalm writer says in Psalms chapter number 20 and verse number 1, what does it say there?
Lord, hear thee in the day.
Yeah, the Lord will hear you. That's right. A lot of times that's the only time people want to call him is when they're in trouble. But you want the Lord to hear you when you're not in trouble. You want the Lord to know, Lord, I'm depending on you. Jesus, you are my help. When my mind gets sidetracked, when I don't ever want to get so comfortable in this thing called life that I don't think I need Jesus. I need the Lord. The Lord ain't there with me. I can't breathe without Jesus. I can't move without Jesus. My existence will come to an end if I do not have Jesus. He is the one that allows me to keep moving from the next second to the next second. You see how that clock is ticking? It's Jesus that allows you to keep on moving from the next second to the next second. And then he's trying to let you know he's doing this to show you that you need his help. Because you can't breathe without the Lord. You can't breathe without the Lord. You can't swallow without the Lord. You can't think without the Lord. You can't exist without Jesus. In him we live, move, and have our being. He's the length of our days. He's the source of what we call life. In him is life. He lighteth every man that comes into this world. Do you realize there's a baby being born right now that Jesus is helping that child? Even when that child don't know who Jesus is. Even when his mama don't know who Jesus is. Even when the doctors don't know who Jesus is. Jesus is still the source of help. He's the one that makes things that are hard easier to deal with, right? That's the truth, saints. You need the Lord. You need the Lord every moment of your life. And it's good to know that you serve a God that hears you. He's not deaf. He's just looking for you to open up your mouth and talk to him. Pour out your heart before Jesus. Don't go around thinking that you've got these things happening in your life that can't stop. I'm talking about them sinful things. Them sinful habits. Them sinful ideas. Them sinful behaviors. Them emotions that are not like Jesus. All of that stuff that the writer said you pick up because of Adam's disobedience. Who can deliver us from this body of death? Nobody but Jesus can do that. He is here to help us. According to the book of Romans, he's here to help us with our infirmities. These weaknesses that are in our flesh. Things that we cannot overcome by ourselves. We need Jesus to step in and deliver us from that stuff, right? That's the truth. Why would you keep going through life captive?
to this stuff. Realizing your captivity is going to be your demise. You keep letting this stuff hold you captive, it's going to destroy you. It's going to take you out of here, to bring you to an untimely grave. And when I say an untimely grave, a grave you're not ready to go to, right? So many people leave this earth every day and they ain't ready for it. They're not ready for it. They done made so many mistakes, so many errors that they did not repent for. And there's no way in the world you could talk about you going back with the righteous God and you haven't corrected the errors of your ways, especially when he's given you something called time. What did he give you time for? He didn't give you time to go on vacation. He didn't give you time to enjoy this thing called life. He gave you time to get your soul right. But don't you lose focus as to why Jesus gave you time. He gave you time to get your soul right before you leave this earth, right? That's true, saints. People think, say, oh, the Lord leaving me around so I can see my grandchildren, so I can see my great grandchildren. You missing the big picture. Because after you meet them and you go on and die, they gonna keep on living. But there's something else that the Lord's leaving you around for. What is he leaving me around for? To get your soul right. Huh? Correct the errors of your ways. Huh? One writer said to repent. Find repentance. Going over to the book of Revelation. Really quick. Revelation, the 3rd chapter. Didn't tend to go there. But it'll line up with what we're talking about. Revelation chapter number 3. And start at verse with the church of Laodicea. Where is that at? 3, and starting at verse number 14.
And it says, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea.
Yes,
write,
yes.
These things said the Amen.
That's what, who is Jesus? The Amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. It is so.
The true witness.
The Amen, right? It is so,
yes.
Right? I am that I am is also called the Amen.
Right.
It is so. These things saith the Amen, right? Keep going. What is Jesus? He's faithful. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Stop putting your confidence in people. People are not faithful. Huh? People, they try their best to be faithful, but they're not faithful. They can't do no more than what's in them. Huh? They'll let you down. Huh? The only one that's going to be there that is constant is Jesus. And you got to come to that kind of understanding for yourself. You got to condition your own mind and say, look, I got to stop trying to expect people to do something that they can't do. I'm setting up false expectations. I'm constantly, at the end of the day, being upset with this one and upset with that one because they let me down. And that's your fault. That's your fault. You brought that on yourself because the Lord done told you don't put your confidence in man. Don't put your trust in him. Don't put your trust in chariots, things you ride around with. Don't put your trust in bows and arrows,
right.
Things that you use for your defense and offense.
Uh-huh.
Don't you do that.
Yes.
But put your trust in the living God. Huh? The God that is alive.
Yep.
Not the God that's about death.
Uh-huh.
The God that is alive.
Yes.
The God that brought you into life.
Yes.
Put your trust in Jesus.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord with all of your heart.
Yes.
Lean not to your own understanding.
Uh-huh.
In all your ways, acknowledge him.
Yes.
Who? Acknowledge Jesus.
Right.
If you can't see Jesus in it, you don't want to be in it.
Right.
If you can't see Jesus in it, you are in a desperate trouble.
Because
you got to be able to see the Lord in it.
Right.
You can't see the Lord in it, that means ain't no salvation in it.
Right.
Ain't no deliverance in that.
Right.
Ain't no help in that.
Right.
Ain't no healing in that.
Right.
Ain't no soundness of mind in that.
Right.
Ain't no safety in that.
Right.
You need to be able to see Jesus in it.
Right.
And you need to stop trying to make up Jesus.
Right.
Trying to make Jesus fit into something he don't fit into.
Right.
His word says,
yes,
that he's against it.
Yes.
His word declares,
yes,
that that's out of his character.
Right.
That's out of his being.
Yes.
Then why would you try to force the Lord into something that you already know that he's not in agreement with, right? That's the truth. That's the truth, saints.
Yes.
You need to be able to acknowledge Jesus in all your ways.
Uh-huh.
And if you're doing something that you can't acknowledge Jesus, you need to get out of it real quick.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
That's the truth. Get out of it real quick.
Yes.
Come on, read a little bit more of that. He's faithful.
Uh-huh.
This said the Amen. What else did it say about there? Yes, Revelation 3. Mm-hmm. Right there. 3 and what is it?
The faithful
and the true witness. He's the beginning of the what?
Creation of God.
That's the truth. So when you're reading in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Uh-huh.
See, Jesus was there by himself.
Uh-huh.
He is solo. Mm-hmm. Huh? Yes. He had no partners. Had no one that he consulted with.
Jesus.
That's what makes him God.
Right.
He was there in the beginning by himself.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to be there in the end by himself.
Jesus.
Right?
Yes.
That's the truth, saints.
Right.
That's what makes him God.
Right.
He speaks and things happen.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
We know his thoughts.
Yes.
Because he utters
yes.
his voice.
Right.
We know he thought light. Jesus. Because he said, let there be light.
Yes.
And what happened there was life. He is the beginning of the creation of God, right? Keep going. One writer says that who's the image of the invisible God? Firstborn of every. Somebody said Adam was. No. Adam was made after the likeness of Jesus Christ. Jesus knew what his body was going to look like before he even formed Adam out of the ground. He made Adam after his image. That's why the scriptures call him the firstborn of every creature, right? He's the firstborn of every creature. God got into a body and spoke the world into existence. God got into the body of Jesus and said, let there be light, and there was light, right? God got into that body and God spoke to that body and said, let us make man in our image. What image was he talking about? The invisible God was talking to a visible image. And by that visible image, he formed Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into Adam the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul, right? That's the truth. You say, who started CPR? God himself. Huh? Who started CPR? God himself. God put his lips on Adam's lips. Huh? And breathed into Adam the breath of life, right? That's the truth.
Yes,
he did. He breathed into Adam the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. And he told Adam, it's not good for you to be by yourself. Huh? See, God knows what you need even when you don't recognize it.
Jesus.
He says, it's not good for you to be by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I'm going to make you a help me.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Somebody that's supposed to be alongside of you.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
That's the truth. That's right. We got to make sure we understand this concept of asking Jesus and letting Jesus be our help.
Right.
See, Adam missed that. Adam missed that concept
yes.
of having Eve as his help me.
Right.
Why? Because he let his help me go
right.
and do her own thing.
Yeah.
And she was supposed to be by her husband's side.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
When I'm telling you Jesus is your help, don't you let Jesus go.
Right.
And don't you go wandering in this thing called the wilderness
right.
by yourself.
Right.
You need to keep Jesus right by your side.
Right.
Why? Because he's the only one
right.
that makes this difficult thing called life
right.
easier to bear.
Jesus.
Huh?
Jesus.
Something is going to come your way
yes.
that is going to rattle your fist.
Right.
And you're going to need the Lord Jesus
right.
to step right in.
Right.
You ain't going to have to go find the Lord,
Jesus.
But you need the Lord to be right there beside you. He's right there with you. He is your helper, right? He's your helper. He ain't got to come from nowhere, but he want to be right there with you. Huh? Ain't that a beautiful thing? When I lay down at night, I need the Lord to be right there with me. Huh? When I'm on my job, I need the Lord to be right there with me. When I'm walking through these dangerous streets, huh? Trying to find my way, navigate my way around this deadly virus, huh? This virus is deadly. It's taking folk out of here left and right. It's putting people in hospital beds left and right. Nobody but Jesus has protected you. Nobody but Jesus has helped you all along the way. Why? God will hear you. When you're in a time of trouble, Jesus will hear you. He'll be right there. And then if you go on off on your own, that's when you got a problem. Because you're going to then try to turn around and be calling. And you ain't going to get no answer. Then you're going to get depressed and sad and lonely and down. But you should be asking yourself a question. Why am I feeling like this when I'm supposed to have the Holy Ghost? Hey, come on. Why are you feeling like this when you are supposed to have the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost ain't a right beside you, friend. The Holy Ghost is an internal friend, meaning he's supposed to be in you. Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, the hope of a better life, right? That's the truth, saints. Holy Ghost is supposed to be in you. Right? But what's the problem? According to the book of Revelations, chapter number 3 and verse number 15, the Lord say, I know something you don't know. Come on, saints. That's what I be trying to get across to my children when I try to give them instruction, and then they want to come back at me with all of these comments, all of these suggestions, all of these so-called ideas. You know nothing. You ain't old enough to know nothing. You're still in a learning mode. And when you're learning, the scripture done told you, keep your mouth silent. Keep your mouth silent. Listen to the words of wisdom that are being poured out to you. Come on, saints, lest you fall into the trap. Lest you get entangled into the snare of the enemy. And then you want to cry in weakness. Daddy, mommy, help me. But they are nowhere to be found. Why? Because they told you don't go down that path. They told you to leave them alone, right? Now you got to deal with it all by yourself, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. Lord knows something we don't know. And we got to understand that. We got to believe it. When we come before a righteous God, he knows stuff we don't know. He knows this stuff called life. We don't even know about it. It be hitting us left and right. Don't it? Oh, yes, it do. Life hits you left and right. And you don't know nothing about it. Those of you that have lost children. Those mothers that have lost children. Lord knew you were going to lose that child before he brought you into existence. Amen. Y'all believe that? Yes. That's the God we serve. Yes. He know everything about us. Not some things. He know everything about us. And if you look back over your life before you had that tragedy, the Lord was right there trying to prepare you. And you didn't even realize he was trying to prepare you. But if you really honestly look back over your life, the Lord was trying to prepare you for something tragic. Something that was going to alter your mind. That's why he's God. He knows the end from the beginning. And if we just step out of ourselves and let Jesus help us, he will do his job, right? He does his job very well. Yes, he does. He does his job very well. Many of you, you look back over your life, Lord was trying to save you at a young age. I mean in your youth. He was trying to save you at a young age because he knew the tragedy that was coming your way. But you ignored him. You had to go through that hard thing by yourself. Now that the Lord has brought you to the knowledge of truth, you should stand flat-footed and look at those that are still going through and say, you can live life better than this, right? You can live life better than this. You ain't got to keep wallowing in that mud. You ain't got to keep going from mess to mess. Not when Jesus promised to bring us up out of a horrible pit. Somebody go over to Psalm chapter number 40 and start at verse number 1 really quick. Really quick, 40 and 1. Oh, yes. Oh, that's why folk don't want to tarry, but tarrying is right here. You can't get around that word. Tarrying is right here. Tarrying simply means to wait. Folk don't want to wait on Jesus. You tell them to get on your knees and call Jesus by name. They start to twiddle with their thumbs. They start to peek out their eyes. And I be trying to get in my mind, what is wrong with you? Don't you understand what you're doing? No, I don't understand why we got to do this. But you sit in front of a television for hours. You talk on the phone for hours. You stay in the stores for hours. And somebody tell you to wait for Jesus, and you can't even do it for 5 minutes, right?
Yes.
Can't even do it for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
5 minutes into your prayer life,
Jesus.
You're
thank
falling
you.
Asleep.
Come on now.
Huh?
Jesus.
5 minutes
thank
into your waiting.
Jesus.
Huh? What does tarrying mean? It means to wait.
Thank you,
that's all tarry means, to wait.
Jesus.
Learn how to be patient and wait.
Jesus.
Realizing God ain't serving you,
Jesus.
You're serving Him.
Yes.
This is your opportunity,
Jesus.
To bring your platter,
Jesus.
Before the Almighty God. And say, Jesus.
Yes.
This is all I have to offer.
Yes.
This is it.
Jesus.
I ain't got no more.
Jesus.
This is all I got to offer.
Jesus.
Now,
Jesus.
Please, Lord, take what I got,
Jesus.
And make something beautiful out of it, right?
Yes. Jesus.
Take what I have,
Jesus.
And make something beautiful out
thank
of it.
Jesus. Thank
huh?
Jesus.
Right, it says, I wait.
Jesus.
What does that verse say?
Patiently.
I waited patiently on the Lord. What did the Lord do? He inclined to me. That word inclined means to listen. Huh? But you ain't going to get his attention if your approach is wrong. You got to be willing to do what? Wait. Huh? You got to be willing to just stay there and wait how? Patiently. Patiently doing what? Not just sitting there twiddling your thumbs. He done told you, use my name. Call on my name. While you are there waiting, use your voice. Use your mind. Use every instrument in your body to cry out Jesus. Call him by his name. That's the name that's above every name, right?
It's
the name that's above every name. Call him by his name. Wait patiently, and the Lord will incline. He will do what? Hear your what? That's right. See, that's why folks don't want to wait. Because they know when they wait, the real you going to come out. Real you going to be broken down. Folks don't want to do that. They don't want to wait there so long that they start to feel desperate. Oh, yes, you do. When you're down there waiting for a long time, you start to feel desperate. You start to feel antsy. And you start to feel hopeless. Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to tell you. I'm trying to break down your understanding right now.
Right.
I'm not going nowhere.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
We're going to stay right on down here calling on Jesus.
Yeah.
Huh? Calling on Jesus until the Lord answers.
Right.
Until the Lord answers by fire.
Right.
Huh? Until the Lord comes in and quickens your mortal body. Until he takes control of a member of your body that you cannot control yourself.
Right.
We're going to stay right there and wait.
Right.
And I'm going to keep telling you, call him by his name. Call Jesus by his name. Elder Scott, I already called him. Call him some more. You got the hunger and you got the thirst after righteousness. But Elder Scott, my belly is full. That lets you know you're going to be down there a while. You're going to be down there a while. You're going to be down there until you get to that point of being hungry for Jesus. Till you get to that point where you break out of yourself. You got to stay there until you break out of yourself. Until you get to the point of desperation. Till you reach the bottom of your rope. Till you ain't got nothing else to pull on. Nothing else to grab on to. Till you start to call the Lord by faith. By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things what? I waited patiently. I waited patiently on the Lord. And he inclined unto me, right? And he heard my cry. Oh, yes. knees are going to hurt. Your back is going to hurt. Why? Because the Lord is trying to break you out of yourself. He wants to see tears fall from your eyes and not coming from your eyeballs, but originating from the belly, the core of who you are. A desperate cry, a cry of need, right? That's the truth. Mother knows when their child really needs them. Another mother can look past them old crocodile tears and really see when that child's really at their lowest point and they're really saying, I need some help. When that mother see that child is really in a desperate state, mother reaches out her arms to her and grabs hold of that child and comforts that child. Why? Because they realize my baby's really crying. My baby really needs me. Now, if you being an earthly parent do such things, what can we say about Jesus? Jesus says, I'm better than your earthly mama and your earthly daddy. I see your cry. I see the desperation of your heart. But you've got to learn how to break down and cry out to me, right? That's true. Got to stop looking around and see who's looking at you. Stop looking around and seeing whose attention you got. Stop being motivated by what you see other folk do. Oh, yes. Thank the Lord. Last night, it was just me and Jesus. My wife, she was doing whatever. But it was just me and Jesus. I was in that bathroom, taking that shower. It was just me and the Lord. The Lord began to work on me on this very thought. We say, Jesus is my help.
Come on, Jesus.
And I started thinking about that thing. I say, yes, Lord Jesus, you really are our help. When we get to that point that we really realize we need Jesus, you start to cry out to the Lord, and it don't even matter who's around you. Your song is different. You be singing. You don't even pay attention to whether other folk are singing with you. That praise becomes personal. It becomes internal. Whether the music is on point, whether people are singing along with you, you say, I got a praise inside of me. And I got to get that praise out. Why? Because I'm talking to my helper. I'm trying to let my helper know I appreciate you, Jesus. Not appreciate you sometimes, but you helped me in a desperate time in my life when I could not help myself. Nobody could do it for me but Jesus, right? That's truth. Oh, yes. That's the praise part. But I even thought about the prayer part. How sometimes you be down on your knees calling on Jesus, and you treat that name like it just don't mean nothing to you. Like it's just a word coming out of your mouth. You're not even realizing his name is salvation. That's why Romans said he's nigh thee, even in your mouth. You don't even realize what you're saying out of your mouth. You're saying, Jesus, there is no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you call that name like you mean it, he will fix every issue in your life, right? He will bring all your broken pieces back together again. If you just call him like you supposed to call him, right? That's the truth. Writer said, I waited patiently. I ain't going outside the book. Psalm chapter number 40. 40 and verse number 1. Said, I waited patiently for the Lord. I didn't wait for my friend. I didn't wait for my children. I didn't wait for the government. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me. See, I'm a fool enough to believe that when our sister sent forth the text this week, she expressed desperation. Why? Because according to the news, according to the statistics, she was in a desperate situation. Her mother you call on the righteous and you say, righteous, pray. Righteous, pray. Make your petitions known before the Lord. Do it on my behalf. That's what the Lord says. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of what? All of them, right? Not some of them, but all of his trouble. That's why I love a scripture like this, where it says, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined. He inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He just heard my cry, but he stepped on in. Come on, saints. That's what you need. You need the Lord to step right on in. Need the Lord to step right on in and do what? Going on down to verse number 2. Verse number 2 will tell you what the Lord will do for you. So many people want to jump down to verse number 2, but they don't want to do number 1. Number 1 told you, you need to learn how to wait. And when you wait, you need to cry out to Jesus, right? You need to cry out to the Lord. And then we can move on to verse number 2. Verse number 2 is a good one, isn't it? But you don't want to do number 1 yet. There you go, wanting the blessing, but you don't want to do the work to get it, right? You don't want to do the work to get the blessing. Oh yeah, it's some work. Oh yes it is. Some folks think you said you coming over in the holiness. Holiness is going to be back, you just sitting back. It's some work you got to put into this. Oh yes, I'm a witness of that. It's some work. Some folks, now when y'all go over to the house and y'all look over at the house, because we're going to have you over there, because I want you to see what the Lord has done. We're going to have you over there, but I want you, when you walk through those doors, to just think about what it was before we got there. What we had to go through from day number 1. Do y'all understand this? It did something to me. When I was able to walk in, now me and my wife have been talking for years, trying to get our children the things that they desire, and to be able to walk after they're grown, but they're still with us. And the Lord proved himself to let us know he's been hearing us. He's been hearing us all of our lives. But he let me know, Stephen, you got to go through some verse before I show you or give you anything. I need you to understand, what does it mean for you to call me your God? What does it mean for you to call me your Lord and your Master? That means he's in control. That means he do what he wants when he wants. He take all the time he want to take. And the only thing I can do is do what? Sit back and learn. Sit back and learn and listen. But when the Lord finishes teaching and he begin to give you something, that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. When the Lord stops trying to teach you, but start giving you stuff. Then you sit back and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Look at Jesus working a mighty wonder in little old Stephen's life. What has Stephen done to deserve any of the Lord's blessings? I can stand flat-footed and say nothing. I have done nothing to deserve the blessings of Jesus. But what did you do, Stephen? All I did is wait patiently. All I can do is just wait patiently. How long did it take? 20-something years. Y'all heard? Are you willing to wait that long? 20-something years. The Lord did it all. But when he did it well. He did it perfect. Come on, saints. Y'all don't understand this. The Lord does things perfectly. He brings people into your life and they do for you what you cannot do for yourself. He does things perfectly, right?
Yes.
But all you got to do is just learn how to do what? Wait. Learn how to wait and make your cry turned into Jesus. And then when you turn your cry into Jesus and you see the Lord work, verse number 2 come into play. Verse number 2 say he brought you up out of a horrible pit. I can say the Lord brought me out of a back room. Yes. Y'all understand this?
Right.
And the Lord let me see a reminder.
Yes.
On last week. Last week, all of us were in a room like we were 20-something years ago. Come on, Sister Scott, isn't it the truth? We was all in the room. No bunk beds this time. We had air mattress. And the things we called our babies were sleeping on the air bed. While all the work was going on in the rest of the house. But the Lord was letting us know, I brought you up out of this. This used to be your norm. You used to have to bring all of your stuff into one room. And that was your house, right? But now say, the Lord said, see what I can do for you. When you learn how to just lean and depend on me, he give you more space than you ever thought you would have in your whole life, right? More space. And it takes the Lord to let sinners come walking in and remind you. Brother came in there and he said, oh, y'all got a big one here. He said, whoa, all these floors, Jesus. Man, we going to have our word cut out. I said, yes, you are going to have your word cut out for you. Oh, yes. It was good to just sit back and see the Lord working his work. Come on. Y'all don't understand this, saints. Y'all ain't got it yet. To be able to just sit back and see the Lord do it. And I'm talking about letting the Lord Jesus do it, right? And when he do it well, right?
He
do it well. You realize the stressful thing you're dealing with is not to pay it, but it's to clean up the mess. And ain't more, so much so, I told the fellas, I said, no. I said, I'll clean it up. And he said, I'm just going, why would you done paid these fellas to do this thing. Why would you want it? Because I need to appreciate. I need to see the extent of all of the hard work that went into bringing things the way that it is. And I just don't want me to understand it. I need all of my crew to understand it too. So we can really see what the Lord has done. Oh, yes, saints. To be able to stand flat footed and say, he brought us up out of a horrible pit. Is that what the book say? I don't want to go wrong. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a what? Upon a rock. And establish my what?
Going.
He put a new song in my mouth.
Ain't that the truth? The Lord put a what? A new song.
In my mouth.
Even what?
Praise to our God. Many shall see it.
Oh, that's what I want when I bring you over there. I ain't trying to gloat. I don't want you to come in there and develop no kind of jealousy. But I want you to see when you put your trust in the Lord, what the Lord will do for you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. When you put your trust in Jesus, Jesus will do great things for you. One writer said that things that you know not. Things you couldn't even see. Now, Lord know it. 20 years ago, we never saw this. Never saw it. Never. N-E-V-E-R. Saw it. But then when the Lord do it, he do it well. He do it and you ain't got to lose nothing. He do it. They just call you and say, we're going to add your name. Out of all of the grandchildren. Why me? Because Jesus said, you waited patiently. Is that what the verse says?
Yeah.
I waited what? Patiently. Not on family, but on the Lord. And he inclined. Is that what the book says?
He inclined unto me and heard my cry.
And he heard my cry. That's all I'm trying to get you to do, saints. And when you're down there, cry out to the Lord.
Yes.
Make your petitions known to Jesus.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, realize you're doing it as unto the Lord.
Uh-huh.
You're not doing it to me.
Uh-huh.
You're not doing it to see who's looking at you.
Right.
You're doing it because you're trying to please Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is the one that you owe all your praise to.
Jesus.
All your time you owe Jesus. Huh? Oh yeah. Oh yes you do. Every resource, every blessing the Lord bring into your life, you owe it to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord didn't have to do none of it. And don't let the Lord back you up into a corner to prove himself to you. Because he know how to do that. Huh? Lord will back you up into a corner and you won't see your way out of it. Why? Because you got too high up on your horse. Huh? That brother love that, that deep love that song. Don't forget to remember where all your what blessings. Huh? Right until you get a little bit of money and you get up on your feet. Why do you change? don't you forget what the Lord has blessed you with.
Right.
Why can't you just remain the same?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
You go around and being mean to folk. Mm-hmm. Don't you realize what you sow? Huh? Don't you realize that what you sow, it's going to come back on you. Huh? Don't think it's going to come back on you in the worst way. Because it's going to hit you when you ain't ready for it. And you're going to have to just do what? Deal with it. That's why it's good to keep the Lord right beside you. Huh? Move him from beside you to moving him way on the inside. Move the Lord in. Say, what that song say? Move the devil out and move the Lord in. And when you move the Lord in, lock the door and throw away the key. I mean, lock it. Matter of fact, break the locks. Yeah, break the locks. Lock it. Throw away the key. Break the locks. Let the devil know you're not opening up the door to him no more. Huh? You lock him out, leave him out. And I don't care how he cry. Let him stand right on out there. Keep him where he belong in. He don't belong into your life, saints. All
right?
One little part, other little part I wanted to get to before the lesson is over with. That word, succor. S-U-C. Starts with a S-U. Succor. That word, succor, means to help. Run to the purpose of assisting. Two scriptures I want you to look at when you look at that word, succor. Acts chapter number 26 and 22. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, 1 and 2. Now, what was the first one I said? Acts 26. All right. Yeah, that's it. Yes. That's right. Now remember, before Paul got to this point, he was Saul. I'll say that again. Before Paul got to this point, he was Saul. And while he was Saul, according to the scripture, he said, I should do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. If you look in verse number 9, this is Saul talking in verse number 9. 22 and 9 says what?
I daily thought
with myself. Now notice, who was his consultant?
Himself.
Yes. You see, the Holy Ghost can't work with you if you are still consulting with yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. Does everybody understand that? I'll say it again. Saul, this is Saul, Paul reminding us in 22 what it was like before he came to know Jesus. And in verse number 9, he's telling you his life. This is before the Holy Ghost came into him. Now you realize some saints fall into this trap even after they receive the Holy Ghost. They do more consulting with themselves than they do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Does everybody understand this? And when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Lord taught you a lesson. It is not about you. Everybody understand that? You got to come out of yourself. And I mean, when you come out of yourself, you got to come out of it and stay out of it. Right? He said, now verse number 9 says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to. And see it again? I ought to do many things. Some of us do many things in our dress. We do many things in our talk. Many things in our attitude that are against Jesus. Everybody understand that? You ain't listening to the Lord. Because if you was listening to the Lord, the Lord had told you not to do that. He would have told you not to do what you're doing, but you, because you're not listening to Jesus, you're doing this thing called life on your own. And what you're going to do, you're going to do many things, not something, many things contrary to what? To the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. And as a result of that, the Lord says that when the Lord began to work with him, he knocked him off of his horse. He knocked him down. And that's where people get upset with, because the Lord brings them down to the earth. The Lord brings them down to the earth. In verse number 14, what does it say in 14?
14, and when we were all fallen to the,
what did the Lord do to that fella?
Fell to the earth.
Yeah. I mean, in other words, life got real hard.
Mm-hmm.
Life got real hard. No longer was he riding. Huh? In his contrary thought, he said, I'm going to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. He was riding down there. But when he got in the front of Jesus, Jesus knocked him off of that thing. Knocked him down to the what? To the earth. Does everybody see this? But why did the Lord knock him down? So he could talk to him. A lot of times we want to go grabbing people in their desperate places instead of letting them learn how to pray. Learn how to pray. Now, when I'm talking about desperate, I can't help you out of a lot of stuff. And I'm not going to help you out of a lot of stuff. Why? Because when stuff get hard, you need to pick up your what? Your prayer life. Amen, Elder Scudder. You need to pick up your prayer life. Huh? Because obviously the Lord is trying to knock you back down to the what?
Earth.
To the earth. To the earth for what reason? To talk to you. Is that what he's saying? All he wanted to do to Saul was do what? Talk to him. But Saul couldn't listen to him. Why? Because he was too busy consulting with himself, right? Saul couldn't listen to him because he was too busy consulting with himself. But when the Lord knocked him down to the earth, he began to listen to Jesus. Huh? Is that what the scripture says? He began to listen to Jesus. He said, I heard a voice speaking. Now the word that is going forth sounds like I'm talking to all of you. But in all actuality, I'm really talking to you. Personally. Do y'all pick that up? Say, Elder Scudder, who you talking? You talking to me. Because it ain't Elder Scudder talking. It's the Lord's word talking, right? He's talking to who? To me. Huh? And what is he saying to me? Calling me by my name. Stephen? Stephen. Why are you persecuting Jesus? It is hard for you to live this thing called life against my will, right? Who are you? Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Jehovah? Who are you, self-existent one? He says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, does the Lord want me to stay down on the earth? According to the next verse, no. He told you to get up. Huh? Now, the enemy, as we learned a couple of weeks ago, when he sees you fall, he's happy. Huh? But the Lord told you, don't pay no attention to that fella. Huh? Say, even though I'm down, I will arise. Now, well, Jesus is going to pick me up, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
So he ain't intending for me to stay on down there. Tell you what, do what? Get up. Stand up on your feet, right? In other words, stop being weak. Stand up on your feet. Huh? Keep going. Understand the reason. Why are you in the situation that you in? Elder Scudder, I don't know. Yes, you do. You know right why the Lord knocked you off of your horse. You know right why the Lord brought you down to the ground.
Right.
Now it's time for you to stand up and be a man. Huh? Tell him to be a man. I am. No, it's time for you to stand up and be a man. Huh? Go like David says, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin now is what?
Ever before.
I realize, Lord, you desire truth from where? Time for me to stop being fake. Oh yeah, it's time for me to stop being fake. Being one way around the saints and some way other way. You fake.
Yeah.
You fake, you don't even know you fake.
Yeah.
The Lord know you fake, but you don't even know you fake. That's why I told you some things the Lord knows that you don't know. Huh? Huh? Time for stop being faking. Be real. Huh? Be you, right? It's the truth. Read a little bit more.
And it says, "Stand five, appeared unto thee for this purpose."
Yes.
To make thee a minister. And a witness both of these things which
thou hast
seen.
Yeah.
And of those things into which I will appear unto thee.
Yes.
Delivering thee from the people.
Ain't that the truth?
From the Gentiles.
We trying to go back and get in prisons with the stuff that the Lord delivered us from.
Right.
Lord done took you away from me and Riri and Bebe and all them other folks. He pulled you out of prison with them folks. And now you going back and standing up on in it.
Right.
Lord don't want you standing back up into that mess. He said, "I brought you out of there.
Right.
I delivered you from the people."
Right.
Huh? But Lord, why are you bringing them back in my face again? Now I want you to be a witness.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Tell them that are still in jail, the Lord will bring you out. And when he bring you out, stay out. Right?
That's it.
Stay out.
That's it.
Don't do jailish things.
Right.
Stop talking jailish talk.
Right.
I catch a lot of you like that. I catch you. You say, make little comments. What I say? I say, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I ain't mean to say. Yeah, you did mean to say it. I'm trying to tell you, get that thing out of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That thing in you is not like the Lord.
Right.
Little slang terms. That's not the Lord brought you out of that mess.
Yes. Right.
Where'd you pick that mess up at?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah. Right.
Talking little weird ways. Mm-hmm. No. We don't talk like that. Not in holiness.
Right.
Huh? Talk like you got some sense.
Yeah.
Huh? It's the truth.
Right.
You go talking that street stuff if you want, you won't go nowhere in life.
No.
You'll be around somebody that can be a blessing to you talking street, mm-hmm. and you wonder why they bypass you.
Right.
They say, I don't need no street up in here.
Right.
I'm trying to get a job done.
Right.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
You don't know how to articulate, say the word. You find what the little children say. You let these little young folk that 2 and 3 years old talk better than you. You grown. And don't know the difference. Amen, Elder Scudder. You'll pop them in their mouth if they said some of that stuff come out your mouth. You wouldn't let your child talk like that to you. Huh? So why do you think it's appropriate for you to talk like that to anybody else? Oh, no, Elder Scudder, I'm trying to tell you, ask the Lord to take that stuff out of you, because
right, yeah.
It's not like him, right?
Right.
Huh? He's delivered you,
right.
Amen,
yeah,
he's
right.
Delivered you from that, right?
Right.
He's put a new song in your heart, right?
Right.
That's the truth. Lord, put a new song in your heart.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost brought a new language,
right.
Huh? When you people talking about speaking in tongues, they be so focused on the language that is unknown. But what about the language that is known? Huh? Remember, holiness is a way of what? Life and living. We are to be holy in all manner. Both verbal and what? Some of that stuff we need to take out of. We don't talk like that.
Right.
Don't talk like that. Not even holiness. Certain things we got to correct people. You correct them the right way. I correct my children. I don't cuss my kids out.
Right.
I don't tell my children that I hate them and all that. Why are you talking like that? You don't do that.
Right.
You ask the Lord, take that stuff away. Lord, please, take that spirit away from me. Because that's not like you.
Right.
Jesus, first of all, has never talked to me like that.
Right.
As horrible as I've been to Jesus, he's never talked to me like that.
Right.
So why would I talk to somebody else like
right.
that? He has always extended love and kindness to me. Even in my worst state, he has always been loving to me. Huh? That's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? But it's the truth. Read a little bit more. I got to let you go. My time. Delivering thee from the people whom now I'm sending you back to. For what purpose? To open up their eyes. Why? To open up their
eyes.
Yes. 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 That's what the Lord is trying to bring you into. Keep going. I was not disobedient to this what?
Heavenly vision.
Keep going.
But show first unto them of Damascus.
Yes.
And at Jerusalem.
And God knows them folk couldn't believe it. They could not believe that he had been delivered. Ananias said, oh no. Oh, you telling me to go down there and help this fella out? Oh no. I done heard many things about him. And now you sending me here, him here to help, for me to help him out? That's how the Lord work, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's how the Lord work. Keep reading a little bit more.
And throughout all the coast of Judea. And then to the Gentiles that they should repent.
They should do what?
Repent and turn to God.
Oh, yeah.
And do works
meet for repentance. That's the problem. Folk don't want to do the works meet for repentance. Right. They want to say, I'm sorry, but don't want to change.
Yes, right. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
I know I shouldn't do it, but you're still doing it anyway.
Right.
Something ain't adding up.
Right.
Your actions ain't lined up with your mouth. You saying one thing, but you're doing something totally different.
Right.
That's like saying somebody tell her, I love you, but they still stabbing you with a, I love you.
Right.
You're like, whoa, how are you loving me and I'm bleeding all over the place?
Right.
That don't add up, do it?
Yeah.
Love should have stopped you.
Right.
Now I realize you love you stab me, you hate me.
Mm-hmm.
But love should say, I shouldn't be doing this. Because
mm-hmm.
I love you.
Mm-hmm.
That means no more stabbing after that.
That's right?
Right? Yeah, right. Works meet for repentance. Maybe you should drop the knife. Right? No more knife. You should say, oh, I'm sorry I did that, but then you go keep the knife in your pocket. You ain't sorry. Because you're going to pull that thing back out again, and I make you upset, and you're going to get the stabbing again. Get the poking. Don't add up, do it. You got to do the works meet for repentance. Say, stand no more. Put the knife down. Don't touch it no more. Walk away from it.
Right.
Walk away from it, right?
That's right.
Don't give it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Give it, put it where it belongs at, in the trash. That's why you don't, sisters, y'all stop wearing certain things, and the brothers too. You don't go give your sinful stuff to somebody else.
Right.
You throw that, get rid of that stuff.
Yeah.
How would you like it if you was on drugs? Would you go give your drugs to somebody else? That's off.
Yeah.
You throw that stuff, flush it on down the toilet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get rid of it because you say, oh, no, these are not good for me.
Right.
If they're not good for me, they're not good for nobody.
Right.
Huh? You mess around, go give somebody else, and they die, you going to jail.
Yeah, that's
right. Well, I didn't want to take it no more, so I gave it somebody else, but it killed them.
Jesus.
Where'd you get it from? Where'd they get it from? They got it from such and such and such. Why'd you give it to them? Because I wasn't doing it no more. So why'd you give it to them for? It killed them. Oh, I ain't mean to kill them, but you did.
Right.
Huh? Well, they shouldn't have took it, and you shouldn't have gave it to them. They can't take it if you didn't give it to them, right? Huh? Well, if they didn't get it for me, they was going to get it for somebody else. Then we would be standing at that door stopping, not yours. We're standing in front of your door because you gave it to them, right? So what should I have done? Throw it in the trash. Flush it down the toilet. But that was wasting money. You bought it. Old fool, you bought it. You bought something you had no business buying. Huh? Now you must suffer the loss for it, right? That's the truth. Does that make sense? Read a little bit more.
And it says, for these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple.
Oh, yes, they did.
And went about to kill me.
Uh-huh. That's about the size of it. Don't let your friends catch you. Your quote-unquote friends. Those are my buddies. I'm trying to tell you, they're going to kill you. If you ain't careful, they're going to kill you. And I'm not talking about with the sword. You ain't going to have no mind to serve the Lord no more. They're going to kill your spirit, your motivation, your mind to live right. Huh? Read a little bit more.
And therefore obtained help of God.
Who helped them when the folk were trying to kill them?
Jesus
did it.
I continue unto this.
That's right.
That's
right. So the Lord didn't help me for me to go back into a life of sin. He helps me to continue on with the work that he's assigned for me to do. Notice Paul did not lose mission, purpose. Purpose was revealed in verse number 16. But even in spite of all of the opposition, huh? And his opposition was great because according to verse number 21, he said folk were even trying to kill him.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
For him doing what the Lord told him to do. But he realized he avoided death because Jesus helped him.
Right.
Do y'all have that understanding about yourselves, saints?
Yes.
You all realize we avoid death only, only because of Jesus. Y'all understand that? I would be infected with the virus if it had not been for the Lord. And if I get infected, I would die because of the virus. If it had not been for the Lord, right? Y'all believe? I believe that. I'm a firm believer of that. I done come in contact with too many people. I'm serious. I done come in contact with too many people. People have got up in my face. How you doing, man? It's good to see you again. Good to see you too. The damage is done. You done got all up in my face now. Whatever you got, I got. Right?
Right.
You know what my kids tell you? They jump on the elevator. I ain't got my mask. I'm all right. I'm being honest. I'm being honest. They come all in my office. Talk to me all in my office. Mr. Scott.
Whoa.
I don't have a mask on because I'm sitting in my office. This is my space. But when you come into my space, you should have your mask on. Well, Mr. Scott, hey, such, I got a quick question, real quick, just to ask you. Whoa, Jesus. Really? Yes, they will. I'm being honest. You can't help it. They just do it all day long. So it's nobody that is protecting me but who?
Jesus.
Nobody is keeping me but Jesus.
That's right.
Your children, they go in and out. You don't know who they be with.
Right.
You don't know who they be with, what's going on, who they talking to.
Yeah.
You just don't know. Right. The poor dog, you don't know where the dog has been at. You don't know what the dog is sniffing when he's down in the grave. You just don't know.
Right. People come in.
All the time, you just don't know where they've been at. You don't know what's going on. And all that stuff, according to the science, it's you should be infected. I'm sorry. By now, you and I should be infected. Some stuff you done brushed up with on your clothes. I'll tell you how serious it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be washing your clothes.
Yeah.
Soon as you come from outside, you should be walking. Many of us don't even do that.
No.
We go in the house, we sit down, we eat.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so tired. Then if you're tired, you lay across your bed.
Yeah.
I ain't going to lay up under the sheet. You're still on your bed.
Right.
Just touching. Getting your car, touching the wheel.
Yeah.
Touching the door. Now, you don't know who come by your door and be pulling on your handle. I'm just trying to make you think. You don't know who touch your doorknobs. You touch your doorknobs every day.
Yeah.
Lock your door. You don't know who touch your doorknobs in the middle of the night.
Amen.
Sick people go by, lick their hands. Mentally problem people go by and lick doorknobs. People do weird stuff.
That's right.
And you just don't know it. So you need the Lord. As the writer says, having therefore obtained help from God, I do what? I continue. To this what? Can you say that about yourself? I continue unto this day. Continue this way doing what?
Witnessing both small and great.
Yeah.
Saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say.
Yes. That's all I needed you all to read. Did y'all get 2 Corinthians? I got to stop because my time is done. 2 Corinthians 6:2, and I'm going to let you go. 6:1-2. Remember that word, succor, means to do what? Help.
Uh-huh.
All right? Yes.
We then, as workers together, with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain.
Don't receive his grace in vain, saints.
Right. But he has said,
heard you in a what?
Time accepted.
Yes.
And in the day of salvation have I
succored thee. Yes.
Behold, now is the accepted time.
That's
behold,
right.
Behold, now is the day.
Now is the day of salvation. Right? Now is the day of salvation. Don't you harden your heart, saints. Don't develop a callous. Don't develop an attitude of self-sufficiency.
as though you don't need Jesus. You need the Lord. In him we do what? Live, move, and have our being. That was the problem with the church of Laodicea, and if I had got to it. The problem with the church of Laodicea, and according to the scripture, they said they had need of nothing. How can a saint that says they need Jesus or planning on going back with Jesus have an attitude that they don't need nothing? Now, what makes you think heaven, what kind of heaven you going to? And you going to sit up there and tell the person that's on the throne in heaven, I don't need nothing. But that's how people's attitudes get. Start talking all weird stuff, old stuff. I mean, just being nasty, downright evil. And then you call yourself a saint. Talking about you on your way back with Jesus. Yeah, right. I tell folk all the time, I hope you get what you planning on when you stop breathing. Because the way you living ain't adding up to where you planning on going when you stop breathing. You don't want that, right? And there's no reversing. There's no do-overs. How you live is how you gonna die. Bishop used to tell us that all the time. You can't live crooked and then die straight. You can't live like a devil and then die like a saint. You can't live in chaos and confusion and then die in peace. Can't live in hate and then die in love. You can't do that. You can't live like a sinner, a Christ rejecter, and then die like a saint. As a man does what? Lives, so shall he die. Right. So think to keep that before yourself, saved. Keep that before yourself. I'm done. Church, you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus. You can write also in your notes Isaiah chapter number 2, 1 through 3. Isaiah chapter number 2, 1 through 3. Many of the scriptures I didn't get a chance to go through, but again, as I said before, you have them there in your notes for your references as you do your studies during the week. Jesus is our help, saints. No one else can help us but Jesus. We need to understand that. We need to condition our mind to think that way. Stop letting people control our emotions and realize again, the Lord is there to do what? Help us. When you have bad feelings, and they're going to come, get bad feelings, bad thoughts in your minds, things that are not like Jesus, call it out. Say, that's not like the Lord. Now, what are you going to do now that you say it's not like the Lord? You need to cry out to the Lord for help. So, well, let me go call. No, you don't need to call nobody. Can't nobody else help you? You go calling people, telling them all that mess. They ain't going to do nothing but add to your misery. Go to the source. Jesus is your help, saints. He will make things that seem difficult easier to handle, easier to deal with, all right? So keep that before yourself, saints. Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not